bad, we can all tell him off. He's definitely my favorite.
Ready?
Ready?
Good evening. The regular meeting of the Joint Land Use Board for Monday, November 21st, 2022, is called to order. I wish to announce that the open public meeting law, known as the Sunshine Law of 1975, has been complied with. The notice of this meeting was advertised at our reorganization meeting, at which time our official newspapers were notified. Copies are placed on the bulletin board. Please stand for the flag salute. Roll call, Nancy.
Erich.
Here.
Councilwoman Hess.
Here.
Mr. Wells.
Here.
Ms. Joy Jackson.
Here.
Ms. Micholi.
Here.
Mr. Dawson. Mr. Pauli. Mr. Jermaine Jackson.
Here.
Ms. Steve Menico here. Ms. Protish.
Here.
Mr. Vandergriff.
Here. Okay. Could I have an approval of minutes from October 27th, 2022? Have a motion?
I make a motion to approve.
Second.
Roll call.
Sorry, who's second?
Pat.
Mayor Roach.
Yes.
Councilwoman Hess.
Yes.
Mr. Wells.
Yes.
Ms. Joy Jackson.
Yes.
Ms. Micholi.
Same.
Mr. Pauli.
Yes.
Mr. Jermaine Jackson. Mr. Vandergriff.
Yes. Okay. Resolutions. Application JLUB-22-14, Museum Rezaz, Block 72, Lot 18. Could I have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Roll call.
Mayor Roach.
Yes.
Councilwoman Hess.
Yes.
Mr. Wells.
Yes.
Ms. Joy Jackson.
Yes.
Ms. Micholi. Mr. Pauli. Mr. Jermaine Jackson.
Yes.
Mr. Vandergriff.
Yes. Okay. Next application, next resolution, application JLUB-22-15, Acre Home Builders LLC, Block 34, Lot 4. Could I have a motion?
Motion approved.
Roll call.
Mayor Roach.
Yes.
Councilwoman Hess.
Yes.
Mr. Wells.
Yes.
Ms. Joy Jackson.
Yes.
Ms. Micholi.
Yes.
Mr. Pauli. Mr. Jermaine Jackson.
Yes.
Mr. Vandergriff.
Yes. Okay, new business. Application JLUB-22-16, OCV Development LLC, 829 Black Plumpton Road, Block 240, Lot 1.01, Major Slate Plan, preliminary and final with variances, oil change facility. Please come forward.
Yes, good evening. My name is Kevin Sheehan. I'm an attorney with Parker McKay, and we're the attorneys for OCV Development LLC. As the chair had said, it's Block 240, Lot 1.01. It's 829 Blackwood Clementon Road at the intersection of Laurel Road and Blackwood Clementon Road. The property is located in the B2 zoning district. It's currently vacant, and the applicant is proposing to construct a 1,336 square foot oil change facility on the property. It would consist of two bays and associated site improvements, parking and lighting and such. The applicant is seeking preliminary and final site plan approval tonight with several variances. The first variance is a front yard setback of 24 feet to Laurel Road and 26 feet to Blackwood Clementon Road, where 30 feet is required. Minimum lot area of 16,070 square feet, where 20,000 square feet is required, but this is a permitted lot. Variance to permit the freestanding sign to be 9.3 feet from the road, where 20 feet is required, and this is for the proposed welcome to Lindenwald sign. Variance to permit a logo on the enter and exit signs. Variance to permit two facade signs on the Blackwood Clementon Road street frontage. One would be an oil can, and the other says oil change. a variance to permit two freestanding signs where one is permitted. That second sign is the welcome to Lindenwold sign, and one sign for the business. And then a variance for the rear yard setback to the residential of 1.4 feet, where 5 feet is required to the commercial behind the site. And then a variance from the requirement that there be a loading area, because as you'll hear in the testimony, there's really no loading area required for this particular use. With me tonight is Ken Feldman, representative of the applicant, Tony Diggin, and civil engineer from Kinley Horn, Sarah Galgan from Nor Architects, Chris Denston from the sign company, and then Paul Ricci, the planner, to address the variances. So if I can have them sworn in, we can move forward.
Agreed. Thank you.
You want to come up?
So if you could, everyone who's going to testify, would you step forward, and I'm going to ask you to give me your name, and if it's a hard last name, spell it for me, and your address, and if you prefer to use your business address, that's fine. So if we could start this way.
Sure. My name is Tony Diggin, D-I-G-G-A-N, employed by Kenny Warren, place of engineer, and my place of address is 301 Park Navy Center Boulevard, Suite 203.
Okay. Okay, and next?
Hi, I'm Paul Ricci, R-I-C-C-I, of the licensed professional planner. Address is 177 Monmouth Avenue, Atlantic Highlands, New Jersey.
Ken Feldman, I represent El Capitan Ventures. My address is 8741 West Salsa Drive, Peoria, Arizona, 8522.
Hello, my name is Sarah Galgan.
Kira. What was your last name
then? G-A-N-U-G-H-A-N.
Okay.
I'm with Nora. And my address is 110 Center. 1617
GFA
Boulevard, so 1600 Philadelphia, PA 19102.
And yes, sir.
Chris Denson with Aerial Signs and Awning. Address is 2333 Concord Road, Preston Township, PA 19101.
Okay, if you could raise your right hand, and also would the board engineer put his name on?
Jeff Hansen, board engineer with Home Environmental Resolutions, 815 East Gate Drive, Suite 103, Mount Laurel, New Jersey, 0054.
Okay, if everyone could raise their right hand, do you swear or affirm that the testimony you will give this evening will be the whole truth?
I do.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Start with Ken.
So, Jeff, do you want to just put the completeness issue?
Everything that's been submitted.
Okay. Thank you. Okay.
I'll just point out that the one variance that Kevin removed is the lot size of the system.
Okay.
Seeing how
okay.
No, that's fine. Sure. I'll give this to Mr. Feldman, but can you identify yourself and your relationship to the applicant, and then can you describe the applicant's experience in the industry and how this particular site will operate?
My name is Ken Feldman. I'm the Vice President of Construction and Entitlements for the applicant Oak Cap Ventures Development. We're a strategic partner with High Road Auto Group, which is the Take 5 oil franchisee for Southern New Jersey. High Road Auto Group is a New Jersey-based company that currently operates 8 Meineke's in New Jersey and has the franchise right to develop Take 5 oil in Southern New Jersey. Operations at High Road Auto Group are managed by John Plum, who's our Vice President of Operations. John has over 29 years of auto experience and is an ASE certified mechanic, as well as a New Jersey emission and repair inspection technician. little about Take Five Oil. Take Five Oil was founded in Matry, Louisiana in 1984. Take Five currently operates more than 600 branded locations in the United States and in Canada. It is owned by Driven Brands, which has over 4,400 automotive facilities. Take Five Oil is a low-impact, clean, fast, and efficient oil change facility. They do not use underground storage tanks. All oil is handled with environmentally friendly maintenance systems, which includes recycling the used oil and oil filters. Their unique shallow pit design enables our service technicians to quickly slip under a customer's car, which means we do not have underground basements. Not your typical oil change facility. Upscale oil change is kind of how we describe ourselves, the Starbucks of oil change. Take Five operates an exclusive drive-through model that allows the customers to always relax in the comfort of their own car. Customers are offered water, juice, and snacks for the kids, and if you have a pet, we'll give them a treat. No waiting rooms. 8.9 minutes is our average speed of service. Focused menu is currently 85% of sales are oil changes with a short list of ancillary items. No high pressure upsales. It's compact, clean, recognizable store design, unique shallow pits again, no lifts, no underground tanks, enable mobility, multitasking, and fast bay times. Service focused on oil change, no mechanical work or tire replacements at all. No appointments needed. As far as operations, hours of operations, we operate Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m., Saturday, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m., and Sunday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Number of employees per shift averages about 6. We have 2 shifts. Once the store reaches maturity, we expect to see about 50 trips a day. Peak hours, typically from 7 a.m. to 10 a.m., and 4 to 6 p.m. on weekdays, and then 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. on weekends. The services we offer, obviously the oil change, air filters, windshield cleaning, windshield wiper blades, filling windshield wiper fluid, check and fill air in the tires. As far as deliveries go, recycled oil is picked up once a week for about 15 to 30 minutes. It's a small truck similar to the ones they use for home heating oil deliveries. New oil is delivered once per week for 15 to 30 minutes. And then box trucks with case oil and supplies once per week for 15 minutes. In regards to our used oil collection, the used oil collection system consists of a drain pan in each bay, 3 steel tanks, 330 gallons each, and a transfer pump. A Take Five oil technician directs and guides the customer over a shallow trench in the bay. The used oil is then drained into a rolling pan that is positioned under the vehicle. The oil filter is also changed above the oil drain pan. When necessary, the drain pans are emptied to designated oil tanks via a 3/4-inch steel braided gasoline braided hose routed through the chases to the storage tanks. Those hoses are connected to the tanks via an air operated vacuum diaphragm pump, so the system is totally non pressurized and hands free. 100% of Take Five oils of used oil and filters are reclaimed and recycled. Used oil locked. We use the used oil filters are drained, and then we have a used oil bin recycling container that we store typically in the trash enclosure areas, and then those are picked up and again recycled. We do have a secondary containment system. The teal stakes are placed in a separate room adjacent to the bay area on a floor within a concrete containment dike. Those tanks are single walled, UL rated industrial standard. This area is connected via a 3-inch chase to the shallow trenches, the same chase that the hose described above is running through, providing secondary containment. The secondary containment can handle 100% of the system's storage capacity, as each trench measures 10 feet by 3 foot by 30 inches, yielding a total volume of 1,683 per pit. We do secure our sites. They're monitored 24 hours a day with both interior and exterior cameras.
Do customers park their cars on the site when they get service, or do they leave them there and come back later for certain?
No. It's completely drive-through. They stay in their vehicles.
And one of the questions in the report was about the environmental remediation.
Yeah, there's an indemnity. Yeah. Phillips Petroleum has accepted responsibility for that, has given us an indemnification agreement. There are monitoring wells on the site, which will be continued to be maintained by them.
So the questions I have, Mr. Feldman, any questions from the board?
You said that the oil thickens, which is drained and then...
Yes, sir.
They're not crushed?
No, sir. No, they're drained completely and then taken to the recycle container, and then those are picked up and recycled.
Usually most, the new ones have a crushing machine or crush the oil out of it, so it's totally empty.
Yeah.
Well, you do, they are emptied inside before they're recycled, so they let them sit with holes in them.
Anybody else have any questions from the board?
No one, sorry.
No.
So, Tony Diggin, for the record, Tony, can you summarize your professional educational experience to qualify you as an expert in civil engineering?
Sure. My name is Tony Diggin, employed by Kinley Horn & Associates. I oversee land development services in the state of New Jersey. I have an active and professional engineering license, and it's in good standing. I've appeared before over 100 boards around the state and numerous county boards, etc.
Yes.
Attorney, you're familiar with the site plan. Can you summarize it for the board?
Sure. We'll start with existing conditions and then move into the proposed condition. The site is located in the B2 Highway Commercial Zone. It's got an address of 829 Blackwood Clementon. It's also known as Block 240, Lot 101. It's about 0.36 acres. Bless you. Right around 16,070 square feet. That is an existing nonconformity because the zone requires a 20,000 square foot minimum lot size. The parcels, this parcel here, this is exhibit A1, aerial exhibit dash one prepared by my firm, Kimley Horn, dated November 21st, 2022, north is up, and this is a 60 scale drawing. The parcel is located at the intersection of Blackwood Clementon Road, also known as CR 534, and also Laurel Road, CR 673. This is the southwest corner of Windermere Borough, and across the street you have Gloucester and then Pine Hill to the south. I'm going to flip to exhibit A2, which is simply another aerial exhibit prepared by my firm, Kinley Horn Associates. With today's date, this is a 20 scale drawing, and north again is up. This is the parcel in question in the yellow bound. Across the street is another gas station, KFC to the south, and a van.
Higgins, can you move over to the side so some of the board can't see?
Sorry about that.
And
to the, let's call it the northeast, there's van cleaners, which I understand was the subject of an application for Rita. Here's the water rights earlier this year. At the present, there are four accesses. There are two within 15 feet of the intersection, this area here, this one on Blackwood. There's another one right here. And then we have another access point along Laurel Road and also one back here on Blackwood. Both of these front yards have 190-foot frontage on respective county roads. Any questions? Oh, wait. this was a former gas station. It was impervious throughout. It's been the subject of an environmental cleanup. And while there may be, you can see some grass here, it's underlain by heavily compacted gravel. Any questions about existing conditions?
Where the pavement is removed, it's still impervious and gravel.
I'm sorry?
You'd say, so if you were to take it to the removal, it's still impervious.
Yes.
The reason I ask that is because the stormwater regulations now from the roof pavement is just grass. Some way it's over 10,000 square feet of disturbed, well, 10,000 square feet of new pavement, which that would be if that wasn't gravel, it would be.
Thank you. This will be Exhibit A3, which is simply the site plan that was submitted with rendering, color added, and placed on an aerial. As Mr. Sheehan mentioned, we're proposing to develop a 1,236 square foot quick change oil service building. It has two bays on the inside, which the architect will explain in a little more detail. We are closing, as I mentioned, this driveway along Blackwood Clementon and this driveway along Laurel Road. I should point out the county site plan application was submitted in early October, and we're waiting feedback from the county. So we're proposing a light in, light out driveway along Blackwood Clementon, given its location within the exclusive through and light turn lanes, and then a full movement driveway along Laurel Road. Circulation wise, you can enter into the site either off Blackwood Clementon or off of Laurel Road. The idea is that you proceed to the bays in the rear. There are two bays inside, as I mentioned, and then we have a queuing back there for four additional cars. We are providing additional landscaping, and there's a trash refuse area in this corner, in the northeast corner. We meet the requirement for parking. 7 is required, and we're providing 9 total spaces in this area here. Loading, we note there's not one there, but we do provide in the truck circulation routing that trucks will proceed to this area here and do the loading. And I believe that was once a week. Yes. there's we're also proposing 3 new light fixtures, one in this area here, one in the front of the building, and then one over in this area. We're proposing building down signage and a welcome to Lindenwald sign here, as well as a freestanding sign for the business, which will be going into more detail with subsequent witnesses. Yeah, trash enclosure is located right there. The trash enclosure will contain a normal waste receptacle, as well as a specific receptacle for drained oil filters, and they get picked up approximately once a week as well. Recycling will be handled inside the building. It's very minimal recycling generation, just from a small office in the front corner of the building, which you'll see when the architect presents. So again, in general, you have a right-in, right-out driveway along Blackwood Clementon. Customers will come in either from Blackwood Clementon or Laurel Road, proceed to the rear, and then enter the bays, receive their service, and then they'll either go out, right out onto Blackwood Clementon, or they can proceed back to the north to this full movement drive. Yeah, so there was, as the engineer pointed out, there was a mislabeled setback on the bulk table. This setback variance request over here is 24.2 feet from Laurel Run, and then 25.3 feet from Blackwood Clementon. Correct. Yep. And the rear yard was misstated at 52. It is complying, though, at 48.4 feet. There's also some relief required here for the parking setback. 5 foot required, whereas we're providing 1.4. And the reason we're proposing this encroachment into the setback, obviously it's an irregularly shaped lot. We're removing the driveways in these corners here. In order to have the site circulate efficiently, we needed to push the building out just a touch over into these areas so we can have full circulation to the east.
Any questions?
Sarah, can you summarize your professional educational experience you qualified as an expert in our state?
My name is Sarah Gahan. I work at NOR. I'm a licensed architect in the state of New Jersey, as well as other mid-Atlantic states. I have a Bachelor of Architecture from Catholic University, and I'm a practicing architect.
Thank you.
Yes. Can you summarize the floor plan side and then the exterior?
So I just wanted to start...
Before you proceed, could we mark that? I think we were at A3. Is this A4?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, I'm sorry, Sarah.
And then the elevations?
Yes, the elevation will be A5.
So I wanted to start with the orientation of the building, because it is the drive-through relationship to the civil drawing, where on the civil plan, it's showing entering the building here on the north side and exiting on the south. So in relationship to the floor plan, there's the two bays on the north side. The cars go through and enter on the south side. Also on the floor plan, there's a small manager's office. There's one exit door because the customers are staying in their car. That's only used by employees. And then a restroom that's to be used by employees and a storage area. And from an operations standpoint, there's workstations within the two bays. Any questions on the floor plan?
No.
So these are the elevations, Exhibit A5. So this is the south elevation, which is going to be shown from the Blackwood Cummins Road. And the north elevation, which is from Laurel Road, which has the stay in the car with the signage. So that's where the customers will be entering. And the west elevation is going to be seen from the corner of the site. And then the east elevation, which is just used for employees, is on this side where the crosswalk is and the sidewalk.
Yes.
Yep.
Chris, you, according to the board, what's happening with...
Chris Denson with Aerial Signs and Awnings. I've been a project manager in the sign industry for about 15 years, coming up on 15.
Are you familiar with the specific signs for this location?
Yes.
Can you summarize the sign?
Yes, I can. We'll start here with, this is the front, the south elevation facing Blackwood Clementon Road. There are two proposed signs, both an illuminated sign, the Take 5 oil can, and then the oil change sign. These are LED illuminated, so it's low voltage, low power draw. It's within the signage allowable, which is total allowable 77, and we're at 44 square feet. The north elevation, which is the backside where the cars would enter the facility, you have stay in your car. These are non-illuminated letters. This is just the drive home, the point to stay in your car when entering the facility. So this wouldn't be considered part of the allowable because it's an informative instructional sign. Again, this is not eliminated. It was eight.
That's a six.
Okay, and then this elevation here, this is facing the corner of Blackwood, Clementon, and Laurel Road. You have two proposed signs here, again, the oil can and then the drive-through. These are, again, both illuminated signs, LED illuminated, plastic faces, aluminum cans. And then on the opposite side, there's no proposed signage. These details are showing the pylon sign and then the non-illuminated directional signs. The pylon sign would be a double-sided illuminated sign with the Take 5 oil can and then a changeable message sign box on there as well. And again, this is well within the allowable. This is a 50-square-foot sign where 200-square-foot is allowed. Down at the bottom here, we have the three directional signs. When we get to the site plan, I'll point out where they are, but you have one double-sided here telling people to enter into the driveway to the back of the facility, and then two where you're coming out. Both say on the back side as you're coming out, thank you, honk for great service, and then on the left side would be telling the cars not to enter, it's an exit only, and then enter to keep going down the side of the facility. You want to talk about the corner sign first? No. All right, so this is the site plan. I'll point out the welcome to Lindenwald sign. It's not shown on here, but you have the south side here with the two illuminated signs, the oil can and oil change here. And then on the north side, stay in your car. And again, facing the intersection, you have the oil can and the little starburst sign there. Then you have the main pylon sign that has the oil can with the changeable copy message, and then the directionals, which are located here, here, and here. This one has the enter pointing both ways to drive into here. This one would have the thank you and thank you for great service on this side. Here would say do not enter, and over here it would tell you to drive that way to enter. And then what's not shown on here, which we'll go over in a second, is the welcome to Lindenwald sign, which would be about right here. And this will be A10.
A10,
yes. So this is the proposed welcome to Lindenwald sign. This is a block base with a non-illuminated PVC mounted sign with the logo and welcome to Lindenwald. Again, this would be at the corner, the intersection of Laurel Road and Blackwood, Clementon.
Yes, I do. On the back wall where the door for the employees is, now, right next door, you're going to have Rita's Water Ice. Do you have any kind of plan for people walking over from there, asking how long it takes or how much it costs?
On this side here?
No, the other side.
Here.
That's where the Rita Water Ice is going to be over there. Does it say employees only on that door, or?
We don't have any plans for that.
Well, I'm just saying, as anybody thought about it. Same thing, are they going to be, people might be pulling in there to go to the Rita's Water Ice into your parking spots. Do you have a plan for that? Because it's going to be easier getting it through there than it is going the other way to read what it is. I'm just saying, I can see it happening. So I didn't know if he had allowed it.
We had not allowed it, but I'm sure we can. It's okay with the board to Yeah, please.
Yeah, because that's like, I can see someone getting where I can say, oh, I wonder how much it costs to get an oil change, you know, and walking over.
So employees only on the door?
Correct me if I'm, this is a locked entrance, correct? The employee entrance, this is locked all the time, so there's not a employees servicing at this door? Employee entrance only, yep.
But I'm just saying, how do you plan people walking up if there is somebody from that right next door?
You got more concerns about the other issue, you want to put them parking there to go to Rita's, because they can come in and cut out real quick.
Yeah, and like I said, it's okay to board, we can provide the plan to be approved to employee mark, take five employees parking.
Yeah, because that's the only thing I can see that happening easily.
We could only be one of two spots open, so we'll have definitely six employees and how many spots? Seven? Nine.
Oh, there's going to be six employees there at one time?
Yeah.
Okay.
Other questions?
That's it.
Can I sit down?
So identify yourself for the record and your credentials to apply by using that for.
Sure.
Sorry.
Strong microphone. My name is Paul Ricci, R-I-C-C-I, again, licensed professional planner. I've been licensed since the year 2000. I'm also a member of the American Institute of Certified Planners. I have a master's degree in city and regional planning from Rutgers University. I'm a board consultant, planning consultant to six towns. I've testified throughout the state. I've been qualified in over 200 towns throughout the state.
Mr. Ricci, is that from the special plan?
Yes.
Thank you, sir.
Paul, you've evaluated this application and determined whether it meets the positive and negative criteria necessary for the C variances?
I did.
Can you summarize that for the board, please?
Sure, and just to be clear, we're going to be requesting the variances under this flexible C2 standard where we can show that the application promotes the purpose of zoning and the variances can be granted without a substantial detriment to the public good as well as your zone plan, public good namely being the surrounding property owners. I wasn't going to relist the variances. I think everyone's mentioned them a couple times. I was just going to run through my testimony if that's okay with the board. Just to start out, from a planning perspective, I found this as to be a very positive application. One, to repurposing a site that's remained vacant, at least based on my analysis of at least 10 years. I looked at historic aerial photography that showed a former Luke Oil on the property that had canopies parallel to both roadways, pretty close to the property. And here, the applicant, you know, it's a triangular site, it's undersized, found a use that requires very little parking, enables there to be a, this is an economic development zone in the town to have a use that creates jobs and those economic benefits while still revitalizing the property. I guess working with the professionals that, you know, you have gateway entranceway signage and all the nice landscaping, not only the green space on the corner that was shown on the exhibit, but also, you know, classic planning where the parking fields are fully landscaped around, so that the fact that there's sufficient space to provide all that shows to me that this is not an application of overdevelopment, despite the fact that it's on an undersized lot. So it seems to be a really good fit in this current predicament. Also, I saw very positive was the closing of the entranceway driveways. And the ones that are closest to the intersection makes the site more safer. And the setback variances that are being sought are somewhat related to that. As the access points are located further from the intersection, it dictates where that building can be located. Despite the fact that the applicant is seeking those variances, I can stand up if I can show C, or at least Mr. Diggins' exhibit here. This is not going to fit now, is it? Thank you. I don't see so well these days. And this is exhibit A3, site plan rendering, I guess the rendering version of the plan. There's a triangular shaped lot, so in the middle of the triangle is the building envelope, and because the building is not parallel to each roadway, there's significant portions of the building that are, that exceed that front yard setback requirement, as well as slightly outside of it. So just to give you a few numbers on that, I think it's not a substantial impairment because, by way, 124 square feet, on the lower road frontage encroaches in so that it clips that corner of the building, but 144 square feet would exceed the setback requirement. So on average, the building is in compliance despite the fact that its portions of it are not. And then on Blackwood-Clementon Road, it's just a very small corner of the building that nips into the setback requirements, about 10 square feet or so, but 338 square feet exceed that setback. So in my opinion, it's not a substantial impairment. Again, and if you look at the total building envelope, you know, more building area could go into the site, but because the applicant has closed the driveways closer to the intersection, it requires the building to be placed here so that access can be as far away from the intersection as possible, which I think we'll defer to your professionals is the best location and the safest location for that. So it's my testimony that despite that there's variance relief, that for this particular site, this is the best zoning alternative for the property. Regarding the sign setback, the variance is for a 9.3-foot setback at its closest location, and that's the gateway entranceway sign that has nothing to do with this application, but is one to, you know, promote the entranceway treatment in into the community. So in that regard, you know, we think it's appropriate as the sign is only 3 feet high, does not impact site triangles, and is one to promote, you know, a gateway entrance treatment. Regarding the number of signs, your sign ordinance permits one sign with a maximum facade area of 10% of the building. And as is indicated on our site plan, the applicant is permitted to have 77.4 square feet of total signage if it was one sign for 10 square feet. The applicant proposes 44.1 square feet. So, in a matter of speaking, if those signs were closer together, there would not be a variance, and it tells me that the displayable area is well under what is anticipated by your zone plan. So less than 6% of that facade area is proposed for signage. So again, I don't believe it's a substantial departure and one that has a displayable message that's consistent with your ordinance. Regarding the parking setback, again, I know the site's been hasn't been active for some time, but historically this was essentially 100% impervious coverage site. In this context, where we're seeking the variance to locate less than 5 feet, this is the parking setback to the property line. As you can see in the rendering that I have up, well, it's not our property, and you know we're kind of benefiting from the fact that the site. Thank you, Mr. Diggin. Immediately adjoins over 30 feet of grass on the adjoining property. So, you know, you can see at the intersection of the two roadways, there's green space at all corners of the property. And here, you know, we need a place to put some parking, so we're asking the board to give us relief there, knowing the fact that it won't feel out of character because we're really benefiting from green space on the adjoining property. So, if you look at the area comprehensively, people don't know exactly where a lot line is. It's going to feel green the entire all corners of the property, and overall a very low portion of the property is actually impervious, and it's largely clustered in the one portion of the site. Let's see if I'm missing anything here in that regard. Regarding the negative criteria, right, it's we have to show that the variance is, real quick, I missed, for these reasons I mentioned, this application supports several purposes of the municipal land use law. Purpose A promotes the general welfare. Purpose G provides ideal location for commercial use in an economic development zone. And Purpose I promotes a desirable visual environment from a complete redevelopment of this tract and the introduction of landscaping and a gateway treatment. Regarding the negative criteria, the variances have to be granted without a substantial detriment to the public good. The area is completely surrounded by non-residential uses. There are no issues with nearby residential properties. We heard from all the previous witnesses regarding water removal on the property, lighting, parking, which is compliant. I did review your professionals' letters, and I think the applicant is, you know, agreeable with those letters. So there's nothing that's known that we're aware of that there would be a substantial detriment to the public good. Your zone plan anticipates this use, it anticipates commercial development. To the extent that we are seeking departure from it, I think it results in an overall better development pattern and land use for the site. So from a planning standpoint, I think this is a very good application, one that will bring an underutilized property back on the tax rolls, and will do so in a manner without negatively impacting the surrounding property owners.
Any questions, Mr. Rager?
Thanks.
That concludes our presentation. If you have any other questions, we can get to your professional reports.
I do have a question. The welcome to Linwall sign?
Yes.
Is that going to be in a sight line for anybody making a right-hand turn over by across the street to the light where the Sunoco is? I can tell from the drawing whether it would be like someone making a right on Red, because that's not really delineated there how far back it is. I see your mark there, but has that been checked?
We will check it and make sure it's not within any side triangles.
But right, put the side triangle on the final plan.
Yeah. Yeah, if we have to adjust it to get outside the triangles,
okay.
We can do that.
Okay, that's right. I'm not sure either, but I just want to make sure it's not an issue. Okay, as long as it's verified, that's it. Yeah, because if somebody making a right-hand turn on Red, you know, this guy's going to come up pretty fast on Black Plymouth Road, unfortunately.
Sure.
Well, I'm not sure if the people do it. Okay, well, just like anything else, I mean, if they can check the sight lines, that's all I'm asking, make sure it's good.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. Do we have a question from the board?
In Mr. Hansen's design comments, I've seen a section where it said that all of the broken sidewalk on the Laurel roadside should be replaced. I can't tell by looking at the plans, but is this all handicap ADA depressed entranceways?
The old driveway entrances are being removed, like the full depth curb is being removed along Blackwood and Laurel. The county's reviewing that right now. I'm sure they'll provide input on what's being done there. But as to whether or not it's ADA compliant, we didn't evaluate that.
The sidewalks. What about old walks too, though? It looks like they're putting it's really hard to tell by looking at the plans. It looks like it's going to be curved.
There's going to be curb where there's no
What about where we cross this Black Cliff Road that the light people trying to walk across the Black Cliff Road?
Well, that's I don't think they're being replaced by light.
What's that? No. So we would anticipate the ADA ramps are in compliance. We have not checked those. But in these areas here where these drivers are being removed, it would be a full depth.
Okay. So I
understand. I'm talking about
here. Here. Yes, those will be ADA compliant. Yes. Yes. Yep.
Can't see anything on there. And also, is there a reason why we're not finishing the sidewalk to the end of the property?
This section here to the east?
Yeah. Well, that side's going to have a sidewalk already on the top side. Well, I'm not sure. The northern side.
We can look into that.
We're going to plan the existing walk.
there is no existing walk. That's why I wanted to see if we can just have it continue to the edge of the property.
Continue to the property line or the shallow piece there?
This approximately 6-7 foot section? We can do that. And the county providing feedback on that.
And then also security cameras, is that agreed upon?
We have security cameras.
Yeah.
I think they were going to do, we were going to do a letter of the public, and then there are a couple of things that we have on. Got to ask, maybe just a letter and then.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Yes.
So that was the letter dated November 9, 2022. First page basically just reiterates what the applicant went through as far as what's being proposed, what's there, what's around the property, and the professionals did a pretty good job going through that. Zoning requirements are listed on page 2. The variances are listed on page 3, and Kevin went through those, and Mr. Ricky went through the C2 criteria and testimony. Also, a design waiver, the pavement section that is proposed is 3 inches of base and 2 inches, or I'm sorry, what's required is 3 inches of base to the top of the proposed is 2.5 and 1.5 respectively, which is considered with not even being factored out back for that kind of thing, and then you could deliver the box trucks and something bigger than like a heating oil truck. That's there would be in a situation where you would be backed out into the wrong road there.
Yeah, so our in the traffic impact statement, we have a peak hour of, I believe it's 10 in the p.m., 9 in the a.m.
Okay.
It is sufficient in the, per the land use code in the ITE, it's projecting 80 trips a day. Previous assessment said 50. So, yeah, we have two in the bays and 4 immediately behind, so we feel that's adequate.
And they could throw in my lessons on that.
You feel like that parking is adequate for employees and anybody? So, you know, I just can't imagine there's too much for people to notice that it's going too often.
That's correct. The whole idea is don't get out of your car. The restroom is not open to the public.
We talked about that the first building setback, you know, on the final plan.
Yes.
How about that track enclosure? Is it masonry or is it going to be constructed? Is there going to be any view speculated on that for night, or is it just going to be
Excuse me, what was that? Is there going to be lighting?
No lighting.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
What's the point of the
attorney's on, no, the township attorney's on.
Number 11 is just talking about, there's no planning board approval, so there's a driveway for the, by the county, there's a far enough back, it's only the county's requirements, but then they have some comment a little further on that. And what about the non-exclusive right-of-way easement for Camden County? Did you find out the purpose of that, or did you provide some text here?
Yes, we discussed that pre-app with the county. They reviewed our proposed access. They're fine with it as proposed.
How about the other little part of the easement there, is that for the monitoring of the road?
That almost shows up on a tax map, it's not recorded, there was no indication as to the purpose.
How would that be with the environmental work that you've done, that would have been, you know, something that would have been wrapped up that way? Is some of the monitoring well, is it going to be demolished, somewhere to be relocated? Who's going to, what's the extent of that, who's going to be, I guess, the whole public responsible?
Yeah.
You guys are, is there going to have to be some sort of easement with them that allows them to do that work?
There's a contract with them and an identification agreement.
That's one of your, kind of, issues.
Yeah.
Along Laurel Road, there was a couple sections of sidewalk that were supposed to be retained. And of course, the need to be made of guy wire, is the entire one going to be replaced down that way?
We hadn't planned on it at the present, just going full depth review of the southern extent in this area here. This would be a landscaped area, we'll remove that. Like I said, I'm sure there will be feedback from the county.
Kind of required is that very well.
Yep.
Security and surveillance measure, you guys have security cameras? Okay, you guys will get squared away with the, and we ask all other businesses to get squared away with the police department so that they can be, you know, security, and so that is, security check. Okay, thank you. I think they already did get the fire marshal letter, there was a comment, right, we got that, you know, or something. It wasn't anything.
I don't remember seeing that piece, that would be the.
There was nothing in there that would have required site plan changes that I can remember, we had it.
Six.
There was a fire protection system for an FPA 72, reviewed and approved by the fire department official. And any gas meters, regulators, or piping, subjected damage on the property, it's going to be protected by barriers. And then an FPA 704, the little system, to identify hazardous materials and stuff.
Yes.
And then some, I'm sure that product part of it was required for you to, sign a justice on the doors and the containers, so comply with that?
Yes.
I was looking for that, but I didn't know if I could find it, it's like a case that. Under grading and drainage and utilities on page five, it just says that it's not considered major development on rainy days, except for only as far as groundwater quantity and volume. We asked for spot grades to be provided to unpaid corners, detail for the valley gutter, and we asked for the valley gutter to be extended beyond the planning bed there to get the stormwater away from the building, and then ask for sizing material of utilities and the size of material, I'm sorry, that the church utilities be laid along the utility plan, and then detail the utilities to be provided as well.
Yeah, we'll comply.
We already talked about site drying and the landscape plan. Yeah, and then there were some species changes that we asked for by the landscaping plan, so do you have any objections to any of those suggestions?
No.
Can you just go into what's the status of that environmental status as far as Phillips is concerned? Is it still ongoing remediation, is it in a monitoring point right now?
Yes.
They're in the process of closing most of them out, the remediation's been done.
Okay.
That's where Phillips is going to be closing several of them off.
filling out their, putting their final outside of the city, with the,
Neither am I.
Looking for a letter, I know it's from DEP, it's from Maria.
Yes.
Maria, I said, community last name.
And they got the...
Process again.
Yes, sir, they are.
So the two, Maria and, Maria, and that one.
Yes.
Sounds like they're done. And then the patient agreement will cover the, ability for that, the, so it sounds like everything's, that it should be that way. And then we just had some administrative, for those who are new, approaching inspection escrow, performing files, and contact the, SRO, for the inspector, for the, construction.
Sir.
Just for clarification, Mr. Sheehan, going through this, Mr. Hanson's review letter, aside from the request for, testimonial, evidence and, correcting, some of the details on the plan, is there anything that there is an objection to with respect to, those comments?
I think the only exception was, the sidewalk, whatever the county requires.
Okay.
Anybody from the board have anything else to ask? Your, anybody from the, public have anything to add? Okay, no one from the public is stepping forward? I guess, would you like to interview the...
Okay, all righty.
Official.
So, before the board is an application for, preliminary and final, major site plan approval, with a number of variances, and I believe just one design waiver. Just for the record, we'll just kind of briefly go over the variances. So we have the, front setback on, Blackwood Clementon Road. We have a front setback on, Laurel Road. 30 feet are required. The Blackwood Clementon, we have 25.3. On the Laurel Road side, we have, is that 24.2. We do have one, pre-existing non-conforming, variance, and that goes with the minimum lot size. 20,000 square feet is required, and there's only 16,070 square feet. But that is a pre-existing non-conforming use. We have a number of variants with regard to the sign. A freestanding sign should not be closer than 40 feet from the right-of-way. And the proposed welcome to Linden Wall sign is 9.3 feet from the right-of-way. So we'll need a bulk variance on there. Functional signs are permitted without any advertising, and the entrance sign does have a corporate logo on there, so the a bulk variance will be required. One facade sign on each side of the building, which faces a street, and the applicant is proposing two facade signs on the Blackwood Clementon frontage. There is one freestanding side, freestanding sign is allowed, and they, and the applicant is proposing two freestanding signs. There is a, with regard to parking, there is a, non-residential parking area to be at least 5 feet from the non-residential property line, and the applicant proposes to have parking 1.4 feet from the property line. We have, and I may have missed this, we do have a waiver that's being requested on the loading area. Did we talk about that? Did I miss that? Okay. I would say design. Yeah. One loading area with a minimum of 12 feet wide and 35 feet long. There isn't going to be any proposed here. And then we had one, the design waiver, which has to do with the asphalt driveway and the, both the surface and the course paving. There's going to be some deviations from what is required. So the applicant, with respect to the bulk variances, the applicant, Mr. Ritchie, put forth the applicant's argument for a C2, variance. It does promote the goals of, zoning. Mr. Ritchie mentioned that it promotes the general welfare. Aesthetically, it is an enhancement. And the last one was that it is a proper use of the land. Again, he did speak about how you're basically, this application is repurposing a property that's been vacant, and it's kind of beneficial use, putting a property into productive use. And that given that the fact that it is surrounded by commercial properties, there's really no detrimental effect to anyone. So if the board is inclined to grant the variances and also grant the preliminary and final site plan approval, just a couple of conditions, one of which is that the applicant did agree to have their security system reviewed by the Lindemarle Police Department and make any required recommendations. The site plan has already been reviewed by the fire marshal, and he did present a letter, and the applicant has indicated they will comply with the letter. We also have that the applicant, we went through our engineer's review letter of November 9th, 2022, and the applicant has agreed to comply with those, all of those requirements with the exception of the sidewalk issue that they're going to leave for the county planning board. And and I think that is all. Jeff, did I miss anything? Okay. So that would be enough. Okay. And so we'll incorporate that also in there. And I think that is all that would be a condition if the board is inclined to grant preliminary and final site plan approval and the number of bulk variances and the two design waivers that the applicant has requested.
Do we have to make a separate motion for?
No, I think we can do it all.
Yeah.
Okay. It's all bulk variances, so it's the same.
Would the board like to make a motion?
I'd make that motion to approve.
Roll call.
Mayor Roach?
Yes.
Councilwoman Hess?
Yes.
Mr. Wells?
Yes.
Ms. Joy Jackson?
Yes.
Ms. Micheli?
Yes.
Ms. Tripoli?
Yes.
Mr. Jermaine Jackson?
Yes.
Mr. Vandegrift?
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Have a good night.
Welcome to the neighborhood, gentlemen.
Thank you.
I just like to know how the guy that started the property.
Thank you. That's fine. My goodness. I took my notes. Are we ready?
Okay.
Ready? Okay, new business, some more new business, application JLUB 22-17, Growing Grace Ministries, Dennis and Cynthia Wiggins, 303 Blackwood Plumpton Road, Block 240, Lot 333, change in use, empty unit to church. Please step forward.
Good evening, Robert Whitman, on behalf of Growing Grace Ministries.
Robert Whitman.
Recently retained.
What's that?
Recently retained.
Okay.
Mr. Whitman, I did call you back, I did leave a message on your...
Yes, I got it, yep.
Okay, so I just want to bring an issue up, okay?
Sure.
And I don't know if you have any proof of payment, but it's come to the board's attention that the sewer bills are substantially in arrears, okay, to the extent of almost $1,700, landlord has not paid those. And as you know, that's a condition of going forward. That will be a board's decision whether they would make that a condition of approval. I don't know how your applicant could pay that because they're not responsible for it, but the landlord is. So whether the board wants to hear this application, knowing that you do have the opportunity to go forward with this and make the payment of the sewer assessments a condition of approval, but again, this applicant is not the owner of the land. Or we can defer the application to a later date when the sewer assessments are current. Pardon me? CCMUI.
Fine.
Oh, the landlord's here this evening.
You see the landlord?
That's the landlord. Yep. Marcia Mazur.
Could you come forward? Yes.
Yes.
CCMUA or the township?
CCMUA.
Huh?
I'm sorry, I have trouble hearing.
CCMUA.
Okay, so I would like it to go forward, so we'll just, I'll get the bill and I'll pay it. You want to make it a condition?
Could you take your mask down just for a second? Would that be okay? And take the microphone closer. If you're going to keep the mask
on. Well, I'll find out what it is and we'll get it paid.
Yeah.
I'd like to see this go forward.
Okay, and what about the, you're the owner of the property, what about the CCMUA charges?
I thought that's what we were... I thought they were paid. I'm sorry. I thought they were.
Okay. So we have problems hearing what you're saying. So we didn't hear what your intention was.
To see that the CCMUA is paid.
In condition of
I thought they were paid. Yeah, if you make
so
it a condition of them, go forward. I'm sorry.
Have you paid it recently? The CCMUA? Because
no.
It's
no.
Showing that it's delinquent.
No, I have not.
You haven't paid it.
Okay. But it can be a condition. So that we can go forward.
So there are, and so this was, what we have here is the total amount due is $1,581.49. And then there are, interest, well, there's the principal interest, and this is the total amount. Oh, okay, we got a little more interest here. It's $1,599.69. And then this is the next quarter, yeah. Which was due the 5th, okay, so the next quarter was due the 15th of the month, so that's another $176. So, that's where we're...
What would you like to do?
Okay, one other thing, while you're here and testifying, I had the opportunity to, because one of the tenants at your center was Two Teeth Nails and Salon, And so I just wanted to go back and look at the approval that we gave to that tenant of yours, which was back in 2015. And we had a number of conditions with regard to the handicap signage and the handicap ramp, which we made a condition of approval, and we actually provided that the landlord was to take care of those things within 60 days of the...
We did provide all the signage.
And when I read the board engineer's new letter, it was the same things that were required, so what is the status of that?
Well, the signage was provided at the time. The signs disappeared, people stole them, but we did provide signs and stuff.
The ramp owner's question on it is that it's not compliant. And this sign, to me, looks very old.
Well, that was 2015 that we put signs up. It's 2022.
The sign is, to the right of the building, is definitely not compliant with current ADA regulations. It didn't meet current ADA regulations in 2015. This is from last Monday. The ramps are basically an asphalt, and they're not compliant. Mm-hmm. My recommendation was that there's two ramps, there's like one on the side of the building right next to the drive aisle, basically. And now we get a handicap drive, we put the slopes, they're not wide enough, the slopes are on. So we need a real handicap, especially in a ministry, as in that other people, or maybe disabled people that would be accessing it. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying we didn't put the signs up, but the signs that I saw looked like they were from the ones that were up here.
No, we bought signs and put them up.
On the left side of the building, I think they might have been small. This one might have been small. They're missing the handicap. The handicap space is on the ramp front.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I kind of recommend for the people that are in the back that we postpone this until they comply with the things that they were supposed to comply with in the beginning, and it hasn't been complied with. I'm going to be biased if I would feel that I might be biased if we go ahead with this and know that she never completed the first thing the first time, so I would really think we should.
Yeah, and this has nothing to do with the applicant. It's the owner of the property that has, we had the issues with.
Okay, would you gentlemen like to come forward?
This is, Pastor Wiggins, Dennis Wiggins, my client who runs that room.
Dennis Wiggins. And I got the letter from the environmental.
Sir, could I, why don't you state your name and I'll swear you in. How's that?
Okay, no problem.
Okay. So would you state your name for the record?
Okay. Pastor Dennis Wiggins.
Okay. Pastor, is your address the same on the application?
Sure, 106 Marion Avenue, Magnolia, New Jersey.
Okay, do you swear or affirm that the testimony you're going to give will be the whole truth?
I affirm.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, I got the letter about 2 days ago, or Friday, matter of fact. And the ramps that are on the building, as stated, the asphalt ramps. Now, with my history, I just want to reflect back. I was a masonry contractor for almost 40 years. I've done handicap ramps, matter of fact. I put in the handicap ramps down on the Pennsville post office, normal post office. I've done government work. If the engineer wants the asphalt written out and put concrete in, I believe that's some of the issue that's before us.
Well, the problem is the slope. It's not wide enough, the slopes.
Well, the slope is, the slope for the spec is 1 foot per inch.
Correct.
And if it's 1 foot
that way, on the side, though, it can't be more than 2% either way.
Right.
Side to side, from right. And that includes from where the passengers discharge all the way to the ramp. If the discharge went all the way to the ramp,
exactly.
Cannot be more than 2% in either direction.
Yeah, but the way they got the...
The ramp itself can be up to 8%, I think it is.
Sure. And at this particular time, I wish you would go forward with the hearing. I guarantee on my behalf that whatever needs to be corrected is corrected in a timely fashion. Now, they're operating now, business there with the ramp, so I would feel that if you just at least go forward with the hearing on tonight.
May I ask him a question just to elicit some testimony on this issue? Pastor Wiggins, you signed a lease agreement with the landlord, correct?
Lease agreement was signed.
And the landlord in that agreement stated that you would be responsible for these repairs and upkeep aspects, correct?
Well, basically, I'll be responsible for the upkeep of the maintenance of the property.
And the, what about in regard to the ramps and the parking lot, like the painting of the lines?
Well, I started painting the lines, and Mr. Hanson took note on that. The parking bumpers have been painted in the front. Lines have been repainted in the front. I did all that on my own.
And is that something that you're responsible for under the lease agreement?
I took that on myself because I knew it had to be done. So I'm at a point now, I got a lease, I want to get in the building, and whatever needs to be done, I'm willing to take care of it when the time comes.
So, yes, sir, as part of your lease agreement, you have assumed all the responsibilities of getting a CO for your space, for your place, even if those responsibilities entail site improvements?
Well, really, when I came over to get the CO, got rejected, basically because of change of uses, but there was a church in there prior to me applying for even the lease. The church was in there for 2 years.
Because the, what's that?
It was an illegal church.
Church, yeah.
Yeah.
They never got approval to operate a church there.
Yeah, there was one with UT, it's because that...
But I don't have a problem with taking that upon myself. I really don't.
But here's my...
I've been licensed. I am B. L. Wiggins Incorporated. If you go up on Copa Boulevard, I put up that... I'm incorporated. Yeah. I've been incorporated for...
Okay.
I've been incorporated for the last, it's D. L. Wiggins Incorporated. I built the Kentucky Fried Chicken, which is now Krispy Kreme, up on Copa Boulevard. And Linda Wong, where Tony Harley has his church at Lighthouse, we put that building up in 1973. I worked for McDonald's Corporation, we broke on Allegheny Avenue, we put the plate station up around that, so I am qualified.
And you understand that these improvements and maintenance issues could be very expensive for you to...
The maintenance that has to be done there, what I'm saying, I'm willing to take on that.
Well, I think the board should, like, proceed first with the jurisdictional issue. The jurisdictional issue is if you come to the board, taxes and assessments have to be paid as a condition of hearing your matter. The other issue is something else that we can deal with, so the board can make a decision on that.
Okay,
and we can vote on whether the board will hear this matter and provide this applicant with jurisdiction tonight, notwithstanding the fact that there are CCMUA charges of a substantial amount outstanding.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so that is something the board has to decide. And then we can move on to after we hear your testimony, we will go to the other issue, which is that we had imposed certain requirements on your landlord 6 years back, and they've still not been complied with. So,
I'm looking at the location, but they might have replaced the sign. That kind of looks, you know,
How about the ramps? The ramps, so then it becomes the ramps, yeah. Yeah, let me see, just want to make sure.
I think the sign by the road, it's always, okay.
And I, you know what, this is just like, and this one also is a condition of that approval back in 2016. The landlord was to cure any local county deficiencies in the sewer assessment, so that was a condition way back in 2015. Obviously, they was taken care of at that time, but they did not stay current, okay? So it's my recommendation that the board make a decision whether we want to hear this matter tonight and make the payment of the sewer assessments a condition of approval, or if we want to defer hearing this matter until the jurisdictional requirements are complied with.
So, I'm opening to the board. Would I have a motion to go ahead or a motion to decline?
I make a motion to postpone.
This is my wife.
Yes.
This is my wife.
Do you want a roll call?
I was just going to say, it's going to be hard to comply if I can't have this place out.
What'd she say?
We can't understand you, ma'am.
It's hard to comply if I can't rent place out. If we pass it, then...
You're going to have to pay CCMUA, and then it's going to have to be current, and it's going to have to be certified through our tax office.
Well, that's okay. I can do that.
Okay, and then I can get it certified through the tax office, and I'll have to come back to the December meeting. There's nothing we can do about that.
You know,
I'm in the middle of a roll call. They already made a motion.
You done made a motion on it?
They already made a motion.
We made a motion. We're voting on it right now, sir.
Oh, my gosh.
Councilwoman Hess?
I'm out of money. I mean, I'm willing to do whatever I have to do to take care of the matter, to hear the matter, and you know.
Hess?
Finish your roll call, sir.
I have two more.
Councilwoman Hess? Mr. Wells?
Yes.
Ms. Joy Jackson? Ms. Micheli?
Yes.
Mr. Pauley?
Yes.
Mr. Jermaine Jackson?
Yes.
Mr. Vandegrift?
Yes. So, right now, we're going to postpone?
Postpone, and that way your landlord can pay up on that, and then we can deal with the handicap ramp issue as a condition of approval.
When will the next board meeting be?
The other thing, I know it's all over with, but you already put the motion on the floor. I've been doing this thing for 4 months now, and I'm out of money right now. I'm not out of money, but I put forth money. I even put forth money tonight, and, you know, I just feel like I'm, you know, it's not really fair to me. Being that it was already a church there 10 years ago, just because they didn't take care of their paperwork properly. I'm a man of God, and I'm going to do the right thing. That's why I'm here tonight, because I did the right thing.
Yeah.
I could have went in the building, yeah, at church, whatever, but I believe in doing the right thing.
Well, we do so too, sir, but part of your due diligence was to see if everything was paid for,
mm-hmm,
before you came in here. And everything was supposed to be taken care of was not taken care of before you came in here.
Sure, I understand.
Okay, so that's part of the problem.
Yeah.
What was supposed to be done did not get done.
Yeah.
So now it'll have to get done before,
okay,
we get.
Okay, now, with that being said, should the ramps be taken care of before we come back for another meeting?
Sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, the ramps we can deal with in terms of an application. But,
okay. Yes, would you like to come forward?
Madam, could you state your name, please?
I am co-pastor Cindy Wiggins.
Oh, co-pastor, okay. And let me just say, because you're probably going to be giving some testimony, do you swear or affirm that the testimony you'll give this evening will be the whole truth?
I affirm.
Okay, perfect, okay.
I just wanted to share, if in fact the ramp is an issue, should all the businesses there be shut down as well? Because they're not in compliance. God forbid there's an accident on the property.
Well, the issue that we're not going forward here tonight is because of the outstanding monies. Okay. And we did say that we can make the ramp issue a condition of approval, but the there is a jurisdictional issue in which says both the state statute and the local ordinance, this application, if there's outstanding monies, proof of payment of sewer assessment and taxes have to be produced in order for us to hear the application. And the board did vote on that, and they would, it is their decision to defer the application to the next month, and this will give time for the responsible party to pay the assessments. But the ramp issue, sir, we will certainly work with you on that and make that a condition of approval, that you have to put that in.
Now, what if
it's just the money part that's the issue.
If we don't bring that up and broach that subject, and somebody will talk a bit at an accident, or there's a verdict to be liable, or a verdict to be sued.
Now, what if
our only mechanism to do that is when somebody comes in for approval of some kind, or when we repay a road, we're required to fix the handicap.
Sure.
If you go to, there's no requirement, if you go to every existing business that's been there for, years and years, that isn't compliant, and they can do that right now. Our mechanism is going to come for some sort of approval or a change or a permit.
Is there any way for that him to have his Sunday service from now till then on Sundays only, just going forward, just so that his parishioners aren't deprived of their ability to worship while we bring this back on December 25th? Or would that be too much of a...
He shouldn't have been having any...
We haven't had any.
Here's the thing. I don't think that you can get a CO because there's no resolution from the board.
It can't be a temporary CO.
So we can't authorize somebody to get in, especially in an assembly type of use, allow you to go in there without a CO.
One more question. What if she would have made note that she would have taken care of this tax issue tomorrow morning, because you're going forward then? I mean, Chris, you never made it known to you that when is going to be.
You're saying if she makes I guess you're saying if she makes a payment tomorrow?
Yeah.
The meeting was today, so I assume.
I just didn't know if she was aware of that substantial. We were not aware ourselves. And so I guess Pastor's saying, if in fact the check was delivered tomorrow, could we move with, I know the... I think the MUA. Yeah.
No, she's right. She's saying that they paid for it, that she made, now you can pay for it tomorrow. Yeah.
So can I just ask for the record, where is that bill going if Ms. Mazur wasn't aware of it? Is it going somewhere? No.
I guess the question is, do you guys have the landlord's proper...
Correct address.
Correct.
If you get a bill, we'll go to the property owner, just like the bill for your... You get a sewer bill in Illinois, and the quarterly sewer bill is that, but it's not from the county.
Oh, no, I'm certainly aware that it's not from here. I just was just befuddled that she was not aware of that substantial bill. Maybe it was going to the wrong address, because we had received a bill from another church. We received a bill from another church. I'm not sure if the correct address.
Right from across the street. Matter of fact, I was going to buy that church, but due to the pandemic, we didn't buy that church. So
I just want to make sure that the address was correct, that Mrs. Mazur, Mr. Mazur are receiving the correct receiving the bill and the correct address.
It tells us he's moving it.
Well, now...
And I will, oh, no, no, I'm aware that it doesn't come here. I'm, right, and I'm certainly aware of that. I guess what I'm saying is this year, we received at our home residence a bill from the, from Lindenwall, water bill, from a church that we had no idea, and we had to, I believe my husband came.
Yes, because we were in the process of buying that church across the street, the Lutheran church, $350,000. And the bill came to us. I don't know how it got, but it came to us. No, it's right here. Right across the street. Yeah, I was going to buy that church. It was going to buy that church. It was $350,000. But the only thing I'm saying, I wish I could have gotten heads up. I wouldn't have no problem paying whatever it was, taxes or whatever. Personally, I wouldn't mind because I would have helped them. And I would have paid it because I don't want this to keep going on. But I'm telling my people we're going to the church, we're going to do this. And it's been going on for like the last, Ms. Nancy knew when I first came and applied for the application. So.
We just have some members who have gone through. We all know what COVID has done and what the pandemic has done. And being together is what pastor desires, so as the members. And it's been a hardship for many who are under doctor's care right now because of being isolated. So pastor's heart, and I can understand how he feels tonight because we all were looking so forward to returning back. As many of you are probably back into your places of various worship buildings, we were so looking forward to that as well. Thank you so much.
So, and if I could just say one thing, I mean, occasionally there is a small $30 balance that's due on a sewer bill. I mean, we'd hear it for the small amount. But this is substantial, and looking at the quarterly charge, we're talking about 2 years that nobody has paid sewer assessments. So we can't kind of ignore that because we have to... Everybody does their part to make the city work, the town work right.
And I will say to the board that I did not file the application. I was brought in afterwards.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
But what I will do is I'll be conducting an OPRA request on any and all outstanding bills on this property and anything else that's going on
with
this prior to our next appearance so that I'm not blindsided.
Well, the application, you have to permit a proof of payment.
Can you give me those square footages?
I got those.
And everything, so
yeah.
So there's no,
I have them right. I've written down.
In a situation where you need a park, I don't think you're going to need a parking variance based on your season.
Yeah.
Sure. Our QT Nails is 1,300 square feet. Yeah. The Glamour Place is 1,600 square feet, and the proposed church is 2,400 square feet.
But what I'll need is the number of seats in the church.
So he has a lot of seats in the church, but they're not used. They're mostly just to space out between chairs because of the COVID concerns of the parishioners. So at any given time, he has about 15 parishioners in there. I mean, we're not as religious of a society as we once were. So maybe 15, 16 people in there worshiping, but they're spaced out with chairs, and they use those chairs as a spacing out mechanism. And sometimes you have introverts that don't like to see that.
But just so we go by the strict interpretation, is there going to have how many? It looks, is this the back row here?
That's gone.
Is there one behind that there?
Yes, it's some chairs all the way across the right side.
That's the back wall that are looking.
No, that's not the
back wall. So if we have 60 seats, say, and there's you, is it just you and your wife that are the two officials? There's no other employees?
That's the main thing.
So even if you had 60 seats, say, if we say 60, just to be safe, you have 60 seats for that. It would be four spaces for that, 15 plus two for you guys, it's 17 plus 12, you're at 29 in the man, and 33 spaces on site, so unless you added over 70 seats, you probably you'll be you're not going to be able to manage the park.
Okay. No, it's five on one side, on the other side is four, and it drops back, it drops back.
So there's more than one row on that maybe?
So maybe the obviously is a different one.
All right, so we'll get this all taken care of.
Yeah, if you can give me the number of parishioners, that's the way to know. If you give me the number of parishioners, we calculate that. Give me your worst case number of people you're going to have as part of parishioners, and that's how I calculate, and go beyond that, and that, you know, be a project that is going to be that.
The other thing to take note, the salon, when we're here, they're not doing some of the law.
The other two businesses are not open on Sunday.
I just want to make sure you know the department, and then the other half of the room.
We'll get all this resolved, and I'll speak with my client and the landlord, and we'll proceed next time. My apologies to the board for any inconvenience or confusion that happened.
I'm sorry, again, what line is this program? I wasn't aware of that, for sure. I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah. When I do the applications, I try to get that. Like in Collins, we'll have certificates of compliance. So. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. I guess open the meeting to the public. Anybody from the public? Nobody? Do I have a motion to adjourn the meeting?
No motion. Yeah.
Adjourn.
All in favor?
All in favor?
Aye.
Yeah.